afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, May 9th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, we had a little bit of a pullback today, and gold today down 820. 820 for gold in the New York spot price after market, currently down 820 at $1,218.80. Silver is down 9 cents today at 1622. Platinum was down 15 at 907. Palladium was down 12 at 802. USDX today, I didn't follow it today, but I'm assuming it's a much, much higher. Let's take a gander at it. I've noticed my connections to the internet are not the best today for whatever reason. You'll have to let me know if you hear anything with my connections also, because...
Sounds okay to me.
Currently it does, but... Let's go ahead and do the market prices. We have the Dow down 37 points today at 20,974. The NASDAQ was up 17 at 6120. The S&P was down 2 at 2396. And the 10-year yield is moving up quietly but strongly, 2.41% on the day. The euro is trading 109, down 45. Let's see if I can get back to the gold prices to pull up the...
You want me to read the U.S. dollar index?
No,
I'm just asking.
Up 41 at 99.58. Crude oil was down 0.40 at 46.03. I'll close out that screen on my computer. So see if it frees up a little more of... Here's something that I saw that I haven't heard in a long time. Guarantee Bank, Raleigh, North Carolina, is assuming all of its deposits. It was shut down by the Federal Office of the Comptroller and the Currency late Friday, with First Citizens Bank and Trust Company of Raleigh, North Carolina, assuming all of its deposits. The Glendale-based Guarantee Bank began operating as a division of First Citizens Bank Saturday morning. However, 107 in-store Guarantee Bank branches in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota will not reopen. The remaining 12 Guarantee Bank standalone branches reopened Saturday morning. According to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corps, as of March 31st, Guarantee Bank had an approximate $1 billion in total assets and $1 billion in total deposits. In addition to assuming all the deposits of the failed bank, First Citizens Bank and Trust Company agreed to purchase $892.6 million of the failed bank's assets. The FDIC will retain the remaining assets for a later sale. Well, isn't that nice of the FDIC? But again, it's been a long time since I saw bank of any size get shut down.
Yep.
And I have often look at my bank. I receive a closings of banks, there's a couple here, a couple there, small ones over the years and so forth. And but this is the first big one that that I took notice to. So does it mean anything?
Well, it might be. Maybe it's an aberration. Maybe we'll watch and see if we have more coming our way. Back, I don't know, in the early part of the Great Recession, there were banks closing all over the place, and there was big concern that this was going to get out of hand, and it didn't. But everybody was concerned about it, and then you're right, it quieted down, went off the radar screen, and I haven't heard anything about banks closing at all for several years now. Nobody's been concerned.
I do keep a daily log of banks closing, and I go to the FDIC and FinCEN, and they'll show the bank closings, but they're small, they're little, because what happened is after 2008, the Federal Reserve, the government, they allowed these banks to absorb any of these that were failing. They were just taken over and absorbed by another bank. This one is, some of it is absorbed by another bank, but they also are closing many of the branches in the various states. So I just thought it was interesting that to see something when here we are in a great economy. You know, where everything is so great. And, you know, we had French's election, and I just saw a little blurb on Macron's economic plans. He wants to reconcile his country with globalization. The modest economic changes he is proposing to do so are already provoking resistance. Yeah. And so again, you know, the people of France might regret and find out that, you know, he's just an extension of the establishment, even though he came in with different clothes and different promises. But he says what he wants to do. He ran as a reformer who wanted to make France's economy more competitive, lightening tax and regulatory burdens on businesses while preserving its cherished welfare state. You can't do both.
Exactly.
You can't do both. And you would think that, you know, folks would have learned the lesson by now, but I don't think they have.
No, not going to learn the lesson, Melody. Because the lesson means no more free lunches. That's a lesson we are all averse to learning. We don't want everybody, and it's part of our species. It's part of the ask a trout. You know, they believe in free lunches. They sure do. That's why they get hooked. The same thing with people. We are opportunistic, and we would much rather have something for nothing than work for it. And that makes us vulnerable.
It is, but as you know, it's really not a matter of people not wanting, well, you know, I might open mouth and insert foot, but it's the government, it's a way to control, and they create these programs for the people. There are no incentives for people to get better, to get off the programs, to search for a job, because it's, you know, because you're already hurting financially. So if you go out and get a job, then they cut you off of everything else, and you're in a worse condition. Or yeah. So it's, the system is set up for the people to fail, in addition to the program that will fail, because you know there's just, you know, they've been proven to fail. None exists that have been successful for any length of time. So, you know, it's just not the people.
Talk to the Soviet Union. Talk to Venezuela.
Yeah,
you try this collectivist BS, and before you know it, everything blows up in your face.
And so it's just not the people who, maybe in other places, but I don't think the people here in the States, it's just a matter of we don't want to work. But the programs are designed to control.
I was reading an article yesterday or the day before, and I may even have clipped it for the radio program, but I don't know if I have it or I don't. But they were talking about all the things they've done to try to get they're complaining about how many people had dropped out of the workforce. Right? Or something like 250 million who could work and only 150 million who are working, and what are you going to do about the other 100 million or however many tens of millions? And they have all sorts of plans. They're going to encourage people and show them that it's essentially their civic duty to go out there and get a job. And they're going to try to persuade people, and they're devising arguments and whatever. Look, the only thing you got to do is make it. You got to pay them more money. You have to raise their wages. You want them to go to work. There has to be more money on the having a job than there is on being on welfare. You either have to raise the pay for people who have jobs, or you have to cut the pay for people living on welfare. But those are the two options on this. And it was just cracked me up reading the article. They were going to try this and this and this and this. They're going to try everything, but nobody made one mention of raising wages for people that are working for a living. Nobody's talking about that on their list. And it was just comical to me. And the other alternative is you have to make welfare less attractive. All right, welfare has got to be an emergency net, and it'll take care of you and provide bare bones subsistence. And under those circumstances, you're going to be looking for a job. But if welfare becomes comfortable, you know, once you get into it, why quit? You know, maybe. May even be a little bit embarrassing at first. I'm on welfare. I don't want people to find out I'm on welfare. After a while, you sit back and say, you know, this is pretty cool. I can get up as late as I want. I can watch TV and blah, blah, blah. And let the other idiots work for a living, and their taxes will support me while I'm sitting here playing with my video games.
Well, again, it's about wages, about things that are cost too much, and it's about too much taxes. So here's another interesting thing I thought. We haven't heard much about it, but South Korea has a new president. And it'll be interesting to see how that reflects in the negotiations with, how North Korea is handled. He's a liberal. He has declared victory as the presidential election today. He's a political veteran and a former human rights lawyer. He's a Democrat. We'll see how it all relates to, because it's interesting is because the past president was kicked out because of corruption. But you also have to think of the timing of everything. So we'll see. Don't know if it means anything. Doesn't know how he will. I'm not quite sure. His parents actually were refugees from North Korea, but he's been around for a long time. He was a founding member of the Progressive South Korean newspaper, since 1988. He's got into politics in, late 2000. 2007, 2008, 2012. So I thought it was interesting, but does it mean anything?
It all means something. But yeah. How significant is it, and is it going to get...
It is significant if we go to nuclear war with North Korea. It's very significant, is he going to instigate it, or, why was the changing of the guards at such a, unsure time, when there's so much, threats going back and forth, you do have to wonder why, she was ousted, and, because they're all corrupt anyway. It's not like she's the first one. And it does mean something. And if there wasn't going on with North Korea, I'd say the same thing. No big deal. But there is a lot going on with North Korea. There's been, you read from your hacker magazine, Anonymous. You're a follower of Anonymous, aren't you, if I recall correctly?
I read superficially the magazine called Hacker's Digest or Hacker's Anonymous. I don't even remember the name of it exactly, but it comes to me by email, and I take a look at it every once in a while, see what's in there. But yeah, I follow it because I know I believe it's an important issue. I have just superficial knowledge of hacking and the rest of sort of thing. I'm aware of it. Don't know how to do it.
Anonymous. My point is he writes, but he warns world to prepare for World War III. He thinks a lot of the positioning of the military, the various staging in strategic places, little pieces. Or going into place for a battle. And, you do see the calls. He says one important part is Australia is a very strategic place, and we see that Mr. Trump is speaking to, Australia. And, so you're seeing all these things.
It is interesting that Trump is making this trip.
Yeah.
Because it suggests, is he just going to play a few rounds of golf, or is he going because he's got to get some people in line? For something they intend to do, something significant, and is he trying to round up some allies or mitigate some adversaries or whatever? I wonder what is the real purpose of this trip.
But I can't recall which countries he's looking to go to. I do believe there's some sort of G20 meeting or something coming up. He's going to Brussels, I believe. I thought, but I think he's going to Italy. You do see a lot of these little signs that perhaps...
The problem you've got is you don't even know if you're seeing signs. It's like seeing leaves in the breeze, and we talk about that. We see leaves in the breeze, and we see the leaves are blowing from east to west, maybe. All right? What we don't know for a fact, is that the way the wind is blowing, or is there just a swirl right outside our window where the leaf appears to be going from east to west, but the general direction of the wind is from north to south? It's hard to know what the signs are. There's a lot of things that could be signs, but are they really signs that are significant, or are they just a certain amount of white noise?
Well,
and it's hard, and it's one of the things, and it's difficult to discern which ones are the which ones to pay attention to, and it's challenging to do that because we are in difficult and dangerous times. It's important to identify the signs, but it's not easily done. There's a lot of things that could be signs, or maybe they're just white noise.
Well, what they're using is the they're claiming the recent military movements in the region, the alleged warnings made by Japan and South Korea about imminent nuclear attacks from the North. They're watching as each country moves strategic pieces into place. Their organization says, but unlike past world wars, although there will be ground troops, the battle is likely to be fierce, brutal, and quick. Yep. It will also be globally devastating, both on environmental and economical levels. According to Anonymous, President Trump's test of the Minute 3 intercontinental ballistic missile last week, coupled with a recent warning from Japanese officials to citizens telling them to make preparations, are ultimately proof that all signs are pointing to a major conflict. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you can look at these as leaves in the breeze, but these are some, you know, and then you see all these other trips. You see the Trump administration's been working closely with the Australians, sending a rotational deployment of more than 1,000 U.S. troops to the country, along with a large fleet of military aircraft. Australia is ultimately considered a strategic location in the Indian Ocean. So, yeah, it's...
But it's like Trump's armada. Going to North Korea back in the last couple of weeks. And, oh, my gosh, he's sending an aircraft carrier or two over there.
The point is they went.
Well, eventually. Eventually they went. And even when they got there, now what? Are they towing the men behind the aircraft carrier on water skis or something? What's happening? And at the moment, nothing. All right? And we got all excited about it. The sign was there. Oh, my God, Trump is sending an armada to North Korea, and it looked like it was going to break loose within a couple of days, and now here we are a couple of weeks later, and so far nothing's happened. It doesn't mean nothing will happen, but you get caught up in these things, and it's hard to discern.
I don't think I'm caught up into it, Al, at all, but I also know, coming from this administration, we're not going to know. I think that situation with Armada, I think that was leaked. They were all running around with their heads cut off, and I don't think you'll ever see that happen again.
Well, you might not.
So I don't think Trump always said he would never let anybody know what he's planning on doing, and I believe that.
Well, that's music is letting us know what the producer is planning on doing, and that is running a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
And I just wanted to finish up when we were talking about North Korea. It's like, no, I don't think we're going to war tomorrow, but I do believe by the end of the year there's going to be something going on. This isn't going away. And tomorrow, but I think when you see these movements, and I thought it was interesting to see the various conversations with Trump and so forth. So other countries are being warned. Heck, we even heard Hawaii was getting prepared for some type of situation. So,
well, Hawaii is a target that apparently North Korea can reach.
They can get to Hawaii. They could reach Japan. They could reach...
Oh, I get that, but in terms of United States. I don't think they can. My understanding is their chances of launching a missile that would actually reach Seattle, for example, are pretty slim. The chances of launching a missile that might hit Hawaii, maybe that's higher. And I don't know if that's land-based missile or a submarine, but who knows? You know, you hear all of these stories again. That's the problem. And some of them are true, and some of them are perhaps exaggerated, and we have to try to ferret out the truth as best we can. But the one fundamental truth in all of this is there is a lot of uncertainty. There is a lot of instability. There is a lot of risk, of potential danger, and the rest of that sort of thing. And you sit back, and all by itself, that has certain implications in terms of where do you want to invest your wealth? I mean, the world is an increasingly unstable place. I was looking at something on population just recently. And back when I was a kid, the population of the world was 2.5 million. Now it's 7.5 million. It's increased by 200% in my lifetime. Increased by 200%. It's actually 300% as compared to what it was back when I was a kid. The consequences of that, you know, we talk a little bit about overpopulation, but it's not something that people pay a lot of attention to right now. And yet, I think this is enormous significance. We're packing more sardines into the can, and one of the things that's going to happen, sooner or later, something's going to break loose. Some sort of a pandemic is going to break loose where millions, tens of millions, maybe more, are going to starve to death, or tens of millions are going to be disabled or perhaps killed by some disease. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. We're living cheek and jowl, you know, next to everybody. The possibility for contagion to spread rapidly and uncontrollably, particularly in countries like China or India or maybe Africa. Third world is exposed on this, and we can just sit around and wait on it to happen, and I don't know that there's anything you can do about this. But if we keep breeding the way we've been breeding, sooner or later, this is going to bite us. You know, we're going to get...
I just wanted to say one more thing. It's extremely rare for Wall Street. We all talk about how calm everything is. There's no panic. Everybody's happy. Stock market's 21,000 for the Dow. You've got the NASDAQ at 6,000. The VIX volatility index plunged this week to the unusually low level of 9.8. This hasn't happened for this closely watched fear gauge since December of 1993. That was when Clinton signed NAFTA into law. Here's another way to think about it. A single-digit VIX reading has happened in less than 0.2% of all trading days since 1990. So you might say to yourself, well, Don't worry. Be happy. Everything's calm. Everything's great. Folks, that's the time that should scare you very much. And I just want to say this, Kevin Warsh, former Federal Reserve Governor Kevin Warsh, said on Monday at a 22nd annual conference, he says, there are plenty of risks in the world, and I, for one, see risk highest when measures or risk are now as low as they are across financial markets. And he knows a thing or two about risk. He was, you know, he worked frequently during the 2008 financial crisis with Bernanke and little Timmy Geithner about how to stabilize the system. Warsh explained that he's a worrier, calling it a scar of the financial crisis and not sleeping for a few years. He says, I would not look at a VIX of 9.5 or 10 and take comfort. I would take fear. So
I think what he's talking about, I think this is just another variation on the fundamental formula for making a profit in investing. You buy low and you sell high.
No, it's a matter of saying that there's so much calm in the market that with as much risk as there's going on in the world, people should be a little more fearful that when you hit these lows, you're going to have – isn't about buying – he's not talking about buying and selling. He's talking about the sign that these markets are going to reverse, and they're going to reverse drastically.
My point is that the VIX level is so low precisely because we are at a peak. If you are going to buy low and sell high, you buy when nobody else wants the product, and you sell when everybody is screaming for it. If the VIX level is that
low,
then people are screaming for the product. And that's evidence. That's one of these evidences that it's time to bail.
Yep.
Right? And that's exactly what they are at least implying. They're saying, look, this can't be – they say it's good news, but it's too good news.
Yes.
Right? It's too good to be believed. When you get to the top of that peak, all right, everybody, yay, we're going to 25,000 on the Dow, we're going to 30,000. No, we're not, we're going to 10,000. So buckle up, all right, watch for the signs that you're at the peak, and it's hard to know because it's hard to turn your back and say, well, maybe we are going to 25,000. I don't want to sell out now, which is exactly why, even though we know, you got to buy low and sell high. You have to sell at the peak. When everybody's happy, that's when you have to sell if you're going to make a profit. But people sit back and say, but if I sell and it turns out we're wrong, I'm going to look like an idiot. And we don't want to look like idiots. So we're going to hang on and hang on and hang on. And then when it collapses, then we can look back and say, you know, I knew I should have sold. I knew it, but I just thought I'd hang on just a little bit longer. I think I was listening to David Stockman. Got an article here from, matter of fact, he was interviewed by Greg Hunter, who was a regular guest on this program. And it's the headline is Fiscal Bloodbath Coming This Fall, according to David Stockman. And one of the points I believe he makes is that you can hang in on the market right now. He says, here's a quote from him. He says, maybe you can get another 2 or 3% up on the Dow, for example, or Standard & Poor's. He says, but you're facing another 30 or 40% down. He's saying the risk-reward ratio is horrible. You are more likely to suffer a loss right now in the markets than you are just to enjoy much of a gain. And he's just saying, well, look, just, you know, balance it. Here's what you got. You've got the potential for a 30 to 40% decline in one hand, and you got the potential for a 2 or 3% rise in the other hand. What do you do? Well, the sensible thing under those circumstances is probably to get out and avoid, capture whatever you've got and preserve it and get away from the markets, because it's hard to find any sources right now that are optimistic. There are some around, but mostly people are warning this thing's going down. It's going down. It's going down, and it's going to happen fairly soon. And Stockman, who is former Stockman, he's former budget director at the White House under the Reagan administration. He should know what he's talking about. He's a credible source and rest that. He's afraid it's coming. The end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter this year. And he's anticipating that the Standard & Poor's 500 could drop to 1,600 or even 1,300. it could drop 40% or even more once the fantasy ends. And the fantasy, what he refers to as fantasy, didn't expressly describe it in the interview, but I believe what he's talking about is the same thing we're looking at the VIX say. There's no cause. Don't worry. Be happy. All right? There's no cause for concern. Yeah, there's plenty of cause for concern. All right? And he's saying once we get out of that fantasy, all of a sudden, this thing is going to drop like a stone because the only thing that's really holding it together is false optimism. What did Greenspan call it? Irrational exuberance. At one point, he was referring to say these people. He was too polite to say these people are crazy, but that's what it came down to. People are caught up in this; they believe in it, and it's like the tulip mania from Holland back in the day. High price of tulips. You could buy a tulip. A special tulip could cost as much as a man could make in a year's work. A craftsman, good craftsman, according to some reports I've seen. It was crazy. And yet, sign us up. You know, and that's part of the... If you're going to be an investor, you've got to sit back and to some degree, you've got to recognize that for the most part, people are crazy. And you've got to sit back and say, wait a second, I can't follow the herd because they're usually wrong. At least you can't follow them too far. People say the trend is your friend and the rest of that sort of thing. I get that, but only up to a point. If you're going to buy low and sell high, you have to buy and sell when the trend is actually changing or just before it's going to change. And you have to revert, you have to work. You know, you can run with the trend for a lot of time, but sooner or later, you've got to sit back and say, whoops, I got to get off this. And we have to discern when are people being sensible and prudent and when are people being irrationally exuberant. In other words, crazy. And if they're behaving in a way that's crazy, if you want to preserve your wealth, you got to get out of it. Right? You got to get away from that insanity, and you've got to find a place to go that is sensible and prudent and will preserve your wealth and perhaps even increase your wealth and blah, blah, blah. It's the challenge. And if you can choose, if you can see these turning points, you can anticipate them correctly, then you're a great investor. You're a genius. Right? If you don't, you're going to start looking for a night job. Something to supplement your day income is going to have to be supplemented with your night income in order to make ends meet. So, I don't know. Interesting.
I just want to say this VIX has only closed below 10 in three periods since 1990. December of 93, 94, we had a recession then, 2006 and 2007. And look what happened shortly thereafter. So,
I understand.
Again,
it's just
the
telling
signs
us we are at or near the high. And if you want to make a profit, you got to sell high. You got to exactly the time when everybody's trying to buy, that's the time you got to bail.
I mean, if this economy was really hot, then I could say, well, you know, maybe you can get, but it isn't. It isn't. And we bring you reports every day to show you just how bad things really are. They were able to create the illusion, and yeah, things got better in certain parts of the country. I get that. There's people out there that were, you know, weren't working and they are working now and so forth, but their wages aren't going up, their disposable income isn't there, things are getting more and more expensive, they're not getting ahead, they can't save, they're struggling, they work and work and work, and they're just at the same place. They're like the little squirrel in the thing that goes around. They pedal and pedal, pedal, and they're not going anywhere. And, you know, there's too many signs to tell us that, folks, this is going to be very short-lived. There's so much volatility and uncertainty.
And sooner or later, we're going to find that black swan or maybe a squadron of black swans, and we're going to be looking for something, you know, we're going to be, and people will be screaming. They're going to be upset and angry, and why were they deceived? And the truth is, a lot of the deception is self-deception.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, it's we all have to be careful of it. But we get hold of something and we think it's absolutely right and it looks like it's making some money and putting some money in our pocket, and you become obsessed with it and you want to stick with it and go, because you hear the reports, inevitably it's going to 30,000 and 50,000 and 100 million, right? And you get those reports and you start believing that. You have to get away, not just from the deception of people you're listening to, but your own self-deception. You got to sit back and say, wait a second, am I making any sense right now? And it's hard for all of us, hard for me. I mean, it's hard for all of us. It's a challenge, but if you're going to succeed, that's what has to be done. And if you think you're making sense and you really do have good understanding and good insight, then you have to stick with it, even if it appears that the rest of the world says you're crazy. Hard to do, very, very hard to do, because we tend to be a herd creature. We function in on a social level, and it's hard to say, okay, all the rest of the people are going to the left, I'm going to the right because I know that's the right thing. There's, oh, you're crazy. No, you gotta invest to the beat of your own drummer, right? Assuming you've got a good drummer, and if you do, then you gotta stick with them. Here's Stockman again. He says the main thing is to get out of the markets. These markets are unstable. They're rigged. And there is no reason to own stock at this point of the game. It is so overvalued. Maybe you can get another 2 or 3% up, but we are facing another 30 to 40% down. The risk reward is horrible. He says the bond market is one giant bubble because the central banks have been buying these bonds worldwide. They've been buying trillions of dollars worth, and they are still buying $1 trillion worth of bonds on an annual basis. All that is coming to a halt. And this is important. The Fed has finally run out of dry powder. I'm quoting David Stockman. They are out of the bond buying business. They are even talking about the initiation of the shrinkage of their balance sheet, which means they're trying to get rid of bonds, which tells us that they're not going to be buying more bonds from the government. They don't want to. I don't know whether they're going to do or not, but they are certainly reluctant to do that at this time. And if the Federal Reserve won't buy the government's debt, who will? The government has been selling its bonds primarily to the Federal Reserve for probably the last 6-8 years. And if the Fed is finally, its capacity to buy those bonds is exhausted, and no one else will lend money to the federal government, we have a moment coming close where they're going to have to admit they don't have the funds to deliver on the programs they promised. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I want to remind the listeners, I'm going to carry through today the special on the Mint State 63 $10 Indian gold piece. We sold quite a few of those today. They're beautiful coins. They're priced going back to when they hit their peak. I believe it was 2009 was the date that I brought up the pricing. If you purchased two of them, it would have cost you over $3,200. Today, if you purchase two of them, it's a little over $1,600. They will return to those higher levels. It is a supply and demand, and they provide you protection, privacy, and profit. They're beautiful. They're actually my favorite design. Of all the coins, I think the $10 Indian is the most beautiful design. It's the most simple. It's a very simple design, and I think it's the most beautiful. Everyone says the St. Gaudens was the most beautiful coin ever designed. No, I don't think so. I think it was a $10 Indian. And the color gold, it's just very special. And $815 for a Mint State 63 $10 Indian. It's only a $75 spread from a Mint State 61, and it was thousands of dollars. There was a $1,000 spread at the peak, so very good buy at this time. Mint State 63 $10 Indian gold piece for $815. This is the first time that I really saw it this slow, selling this low. Usually it never went below $1,000, so very good time to be picking these up if you don't have them.
All right.
We also have some 90% dimes. If anybody's interested in 90% dimes, we have some quarters left over. Very beautiful quarters, very nice quarters, and a very good price. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Here's another one of these. Well, let me give you another doom and gloom first off. Here's a doom and gloom report. This should scare everybody. This is from a couple of different publications, but the ultimate source on this is something called Truth Revolt. And according to Michael Goodwin, Hillary Clinton is running for president again in 2020. How's that for scary, huh? There's some doom and gloom for you. All the Republicans collectively holding their breath in anticipation. They're hoping she runs because they think it'll be easy to defeat her. It says, with 2016 in the rearview mirror, it seems that Democrats would want nothing less than Hillary Clinton dusting off her running shoes for another swing at the White House in 2020. However, according to the New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin, that's exactly what she's doing. Apparently, Clinton is launching a group called Onward Together, and they'll be raising funds, but every dollar they've given to Hillary's organization is $1 that doesn't go to the other Democratic politicians. And that can't make the Democratic Party very happy. And this is interesting because what Hillary is doing by apparently, reportedly, starting another campaign for the White House and starting it early, which is what she did the last time. She's going to be inevitable. She's going to be the inevitable candidate again. If she gets in here early enough and collects enough funds, there won't be much money left for any potential rivals, the Democrats. I mean, the Republicans, according to this article, should be delighted that Hillary's running. And the Democrats themselves should be, oh my gosh, not again. Now, I'm not here to say that she's actually going to run for the next election. 2020 is a long time away. Hillary is no spring chicken. She's had her problems, falling down and apparent medical problems, and we'll watch and see what happens. I mean, you know, man proposes and God disposes. So we'll watch and see what really happens. But, I've seen cartoons for Trump in his first 100 days, and he says, primary accomplishments, I'm not Hillary, in a cartoon. Well, for a lot of us, that was enough. Might not be perfect, but on the other hand, he's not Hillary. But if she's coming around again, oh my gosh, that's scary, Melody.
I've seen lists. I think the Democratic candidates for president in 2020 is going to be the same as it was for the Republicans for 2016. There's going to be a boatload of them. There's many of them that are already positioning themselves, that are going around this country, trying to get their bids, their money, and so forth. She doesn't have a chance. The one person
that I'm... depends on how much money she can raise.
No. They're not going to put another failure in there. You have Elizabeth Warren. She'll probably be running. Bernie Sanders, as old as he is, who knows what he'll be doing. You have Zuckerberg. He's going around this country. Every state he's going to. He's positioning himself. Now, whether he's going to run in 2020 or not, that remains to be seen. But I do believe in the future, he will be running as president. There's a lot of Tim Kaine, that was Hillary's running mate. There's a lot of senators. There's even Al Franken. He's considering. He's buying into some early speculation about 20. So there's a lot. Martin O'Malley, Kamala Harris. She's the senator from California. She's been drawn. They compare her to another young black Democrat like Barack Obama.
We'll vote for another black Democrat.
But I mean, this is the Democratic Party, and there's going to be just as many of those running for president as the Republicans had this time.
And what's going to happen in the Democratic Party? And what I mean by what I'm referring to is they have hired operatives to incite violence in certain around or near violence with Trump rallies and whatever, and they have insisted on behaving, with embracing a bunch of thuggery coming into the election and even since the election. And I wonder how much of that thuggery is going to affect the Democratic Party themselves. Are they going to have real fights within the Democratic Party? They've got all these people who want to be president. I'll bet some of them they've won the thug vote, and the thugs will stand up and thump people for their candidate. Or will they? Do you think that's a credible prediction, Melody, or do you think it's overly pessimistic?
No, I'm not so sure that's going to even play in 2020. I mean, that's so far, it just depends on what happens. I mean, you have a lot of things going now. You have all these, the hearings, that are going on and about Flynn and, people wear out. People aren't committed. And, whether you pay them or not, 2 years from now, they're going to be back watching their favorite TV program and so forth. It's just the way it is. So I don't think the violence or the commitment, what we've had today or what we've seen today is going to make a difference in 2020.
Well, we'll watch and see. We have another election before we get to 2020. There'll be an election for 2018.
Correct.
Right, which will just be a congressional election. congressional and some senators. It won't be a presidential election, a general election, but
and I've read so many different.
We're going to see. Yeah.
I read so many different. I read so many different things on that. That you know, there's no way, even if the Democrats won so many, they still wouldn't be the ones that are up for election. Wouldn't be able to take control, and then the other. So right now you're hearing all this type of speculation for the, you know, the elections next year. What I do know is that. You know, if they don't get this health care settled out by 2018, it will make a big difference for the Republicans, I believe. So,
well, I wonder if any of it will make a big difference for the American people. Or will we wind up being impoverished regardless of who gets into office? You know, that's one of the problems.
That's if we make it to 2018.
Yeah, if we make it to 2018.
You know, we're talking about nuclear war with North Korea. We ain't even going to be getting – they probably won't even be elections in 2018. You know, if the – but so that's – as close as 2018 is,
yep.
It's really far away. Because there's so much that can happen today with the war, with the economy, with the debt ceiling, with so many things, the health care, so many things are going on, and there's so much volatility and so much, you know, disruptions and so forth. You know, the only ones that are thinking about 2018 are those that are running.
Well, I would imagine Hillary might be thinking about 2018. Even though that's not a presidential election year, I'm wondering, I mean, if it's true that she's really trying to assemble some sort of an organization right now, it's going to be, she's going to be or represent a wing of the Democrat Party. And she's going to probably, in order to enhance her own chances to become president, assuming she actually runs in 2020, it may be that she has to play an influential role in the 2018 election. She's got to get some candidates elected. She's got to turn the tables one place or another and take credit for, well, I got this guy elected and that woman elected and so on. I'm going to guess, and that's all this is guessing, but I'm going to guess that Hillary is going to want to show in the 2018 election that she still has some teeth and that she can make things happen. If she tries that and she fails to get candidates elected, and fails to influence the 2018 election in a positive way, then I think she's finished. I think she'll, yeah. And I don't think she's going to get elected in 2020 in any case.
No, she's too old.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, she's not a young old. Mm-hmm. She's an old.
Like you and me.
Like you and me. Mm-hmm. I also heard the name Michelle Obama was thrown around for a possible run in 2020. And it's like, people love Michelle. People, you know, we don't, but the Democrats.
I was wondering, what are you talking to anyway? Love Michael,
but the
other
Michelle.
Yeah,
Michelle/Michelle.
I just call her Mickey.
Democrats love her. The people like her.
True.
The people like her. The Democratic, the liberals, they like her. The people. That's a scary thought.
Let them run her. That's just not, I, you know, it's like Ivanka Trump. There has been.
She, I thought perhaps she would, but she wouldn't. Yeah, no.
No, she's Jewish now.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate seeing a Jewish president. We may find people like Trump that's very pro-Israel, but I don't think we're going to elect a Jewish president anytime soon to the White House.
Well, you don't have to elect one. There's one there now, his son-in-law, so.
Nevertheless, in the actual election, I don't think you're going to roll. I don't think we're likely to elect someone. If she was still a Protestant, if she hadn't changed her faith, I think she'd have a shot. But as a Jew, I don't believe she's likely to get.
No.
I mean, whatever she's going to do in politics will be derivative from whatever success her father has. He might put her in a position where she can have some influence.
Well, she does.
And she might, for all I know, she might be elected senator from New York. That could happen. Or congressman, for sure. But maybe senator from New York. I mean, it worked for Hillary. She didn't even live in New York, and she got elected up there. That was a fine moment for the for the Democrats of New York and the people of New York, we've elected an outsider to be our senator. How foolish is that, and especially in retrospect? Oh, my gosh. You know, it's bad enough they rigged the market. They apparently rigged the elections. I don't know. This whole thing is like a TV movie, and you know how it's going to work out. It's like a fixed baseball game or something. It isn't that interesting when it's fixed. It's just annoying.
Oh, so I can only say I hope we have some sort of a pullback of the markets before the elections.
I cannot imagine that the markets are going to hold up until the 2018 election. And again, David Stockman, he's talking. He thinks it's going to go down sometime between August and October of this year. All right,
August and September are the most volatile months of the year.
Well, he's hedging his bet. We'll watch and see if he knows what he's talking about or not. I don't know.
And that's really when 2008 broke. Really broke the Lehman's, Bear Stearns was, I can't remember which one, was in June. They pushed oil prices in July to 150, and you know, August, you know, it just broke down. So, yeah, it was an active July, August, and so on. So, yeah, that's when it really started.
Beware the Ides of August.
August.
Uh huh. Right. Caesar had to watch out for the Ides of March, but we have to watch out for the Ides of August and maybe the Ides of September. So, and we do have to watch out, but it might be the Ides, and it might be the 5, the 5th, and it might be the 10th, and who knows what it's going to be. But again, we are in danger. We are fragile. Protect yourself as best you can. And of course, we're going to suggest you get some gold. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.